from the wind blows, puts me back in Manitoba many moons ago.
As we do every Sunday morning at this time, we welcome Gordon Goldsboro from the Manitoba Historical Society for Abandoned Manitoba. Good morning, Gordon.
Good morning, Jim.
And remind us of the clue from last week.
Well, who among us, when we see some freshly poured concrete, is not tempted to write our name in it or make an impression of our hand? This week, however, we are visiting a concrete sidewalk in the Fort Rouge neighborhood of Winnipeg, where the word Ainslie reveals a deeper story. Specifically, we're talking about a sidewalk at the intersection of Warsaw Avenue and Arbuthnot Street.
Someone named Ainslie signed their name in the concrete?
It's possible, but I think there's a more likely explanation.
Oh.
Neither Warsaw nor Arbuthnot is the original name of those streets. So, for example, prior to 1913, Warsaw was named Rosser Avenue for Thomas L. Rosser. He was a Confederate general in the American Civil War who was later the chief engineer of the Canadian Pacific Railway when they came through town here. They named a street after him. But even that was not its original name. Before it was Rosser Avenue, it was Ross Avenue, named for Winnipeg businessman Arthur Wellington Ross. We shouldn't feel too bad about Mr. Ross losing his namesake street, because several other streets in Winnipeg are named for him or for other members of his family.
Okay, such as, what streets are those?
Well, we have, for example, Arthur Street in the Exchange District, and it's supposedly based on his first name. We have Wellington Crescent, and maybe also Wellington Avenue that is based on his middle name. Jesse Avenue is named for his wife, Jesse Florence Ross. Hugo Street was named for his son, John Hugo Ross, who incidentally lost his life aboard the Titanic in 1912. The middle name of Mr. Ross's second son was also used for a street name. He was noted engineer and architect Donald Ainslie Ross, the basis, of course, for Ainslie Street.
So this is where we come back to the writing on the sidewalk, right?
Right. Because Ainslie Street no longer exists, well, it doesn't kind of make sense, but it is now Arbuthnot Street, named for Winnipeg's 22nd mayor, John Arbuthnot, who served as mayor from 1901 to 1903. When that sidewalk was first poured, and I don't know exactly when that was, the street was still known as Ainslie. So, someone scratched its name in the sidewalk, and it's a reminder today about the former name. My guess is that it was done by a local resident, possibly years later, maybe when a portion of the sidewalk was being repaired or even replaced.
So let's go back to Donald Ainslie Ross for a moment. You said he was a noted engineer and architect. In what way was he noteworthy?
Mr. Ross was responsible for designing and building several very prominent Manitoba buildings. One of them was Brandon's stately Prince Edward Hotel, which was, by the way, demolished in 1980. He designed the electric railway chambers on Notre Dame Avenue, which is home to the historical branch of the provincial government. He designed the Sherbrooke Pool. He designed the Civic Auditorium next to the Bay Parkade that is home today to the provincial archives and the provincial legislative library.
And when was Ainslie renamed as Arbuthnot and why?
As near as I can tell, the street was renamed in 1959, and that was 3 years after Donald Ainslie Ross had died. He died in 1956. It was fully 28 years after John Arbuthnot had passed away. I suspect the rationale for renaming it as Arbuthnot was that, as a former mayor, Arbuthnot was deemed worthy of having a street named for him, whereas Mr. Ross, although noteworthy in his own right, was simply a fellow for whose father had named a street after him.
I see. So how come Mr. Ross was able to name all those streets after his family?
Well, Arthur Wellington Ross was a very successful businessman, and he was involved, among other things, in real estate development around Winnipeg. He developed some parts of Fort Rouge, and I suppose was therefore permitted to select names for streets in the area. Therein lies what I think is the deeper story involved in today's episode, the basis on which streets are named and later renamed, and also what documentation exists for that process.
Okay, so how are Winnipeg streets named?
Well, in the past, it was mostly a very informal process. But in 2015, the city of Winnipeg passed a bylaw to formalize the process for naming and renaming streets. Basically, anyone can suggest a new street name. The suggestions are referred to a committee responsible for the area of the city where the name would be used. Approved names are added then to something called the Street Name Reserve List. And at that point, the suggester of the name is charged $174. So if you think suggesting a name is free, well, think again. They actually charge you for that, right? And then real estate developers who are maybe needing a name for a street that they're working on, they supposedly select from that list. However, developers can also submit their own suggestions. And the city is actually refreshingly frank in acknowledging that only a limited number of names are drawn from the reserve list in any given year. And there is no guarantee that approved names that have been submitted by the general public will ever be selected for a new street. So just because your name has been approved doesn't mean it's ever going to show up on a street. You know, it may turn out that the developers get priority.
I see. So how about renaming a street?
Well, this is where things can get really contentious. You know, renaming a street imposes real hardship on those who live on the street or who have businesses on the street, because it means they have to inform everyone with whom they interact of the change. You know, this can be costly, it can be time consuming, and inevitably during the transition, it can lead to real confusion. The matter can be further complicated when the former name or even the proposed new name is for a person. You know, the city's bylaw says that people whose name is being considered for a street name should, and this is a quote, portray a positive image for the city. But our perception of what is positive can change over time. What was positive yesterday can be negative tomorrow. You know, we've had numerous recent examples where streets named for people are being challenged today. You know, we have, for instance, calls to rename Bishop Brandon Boulevard because of the bishop's support of the residential school program. Another example is Cornish Avenue, which was named for Winnipeg's first mayor, Francis Cornish. And for him, there is considerable evidence that he hated pretty near everybody. He hated Catholics. He hated Francophones. He hated Indigenous people. The only people he seemed to have liked were people pretty much exactly like him.
I see. Wow. How about all the other Winnipeg streets?
Well, unfortunately, the city of Winnipeg has only fragmentary records on the basis for city street names, especially ones that were set up in the early days. Back in 1974, a book called Mosaic of Winnipeg Street Names was published. It provided what its author believed was the basis for many of the street names. Unfortunately, it's been subsequently shown to have numerous factual errors. And so the Manitoba Historical Society has been correcting the book's information via a list on our website. You know, we add new names to the list as we find information on them. We document name changes and we provide biographical information on the people for whom streets are named. It is, however, a long-term ongoing project. And I think that listeners who check out that list will find many gaps in it. We also, by the way, have similar lists for street names in Portage la Prairie and Brandon, but again, those lists are incomplete. So I would say we really do welcome assistance, particularly if any of our listeners check out these lists and they find gaps that they can help us to fill, you know, where you know why a particular street has the name that it does. We're going to be pleased to hear from you.
Well, thanks so much for that, Gordon.
You're welcome.
And so let us know what's up for next week.
Well, you know, when a person talks about abandoned places, such as we do here, it's inevitable that things change over time. So every so often in this series, we make updates on previous episodes of Abandoned Manitoba. Next week, I'm going on an adventure to a place that I visited back in 2017. And if all goes well, I'm going to have a lot of information to share next week, along with updates on other abandoned sites.
Well, I can't wait to hear that.
We'll talk next week. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Every time the wind blows, puts me back in Manitoba. Many moons.